Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, April 14th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. Had a really long night last night. I stayed up all night watching UFC 300 with my buddies, and that show ended at like 2 a.m. Eastern time. And then I watched the post-fight press conference because I was so like pumped up after watching the fights. It was such a great show. Not only just the pay-per-view, but all of the prelims as well. Awesome event for UFC 300. But I stayed up watching the fights, then I watched the press conference, and then I was just so hyped up from the show, I didn't wind up falling asleep until like 7 in the morning. So I woke up today, pretty much just a few moments ago this afternoon, and I'm right here to give you guys the results, some predictions, some spoilers here on the Weekender. So I always appreciate y'all listening to the show, and like I said, I hope y'all had a great week and a great weekend. Some programming notes real quick. I will most likely record the next episode of the Weekender next Monday instead of on Sunday. The reason being, we have TNA Rebellion on Saturday night. I'll be on the post show for that, and I'll talk a little bit more about more of that in a second. And also, you know, we have AEW Dynasty on Sunday night, so it just makes the most sense to record the Weekender on Monday. It'll probably be Monday night because of my shoot job, you know, being throughout the day. So look out for the next episode of the Weekender, most likely on Monday night, and we'll get caught up on all the indie stuff. We'll get caught up on, you know, there's probably going to be some spoilers for TNA by that point, and stuff like that. So make sure to get caught up on everything next Monday. Also, as I mentioned, I will be on the post show for TNA Rebellion. That'll be on YouTube.com/Fightful, the main Fightful YouTube channel. I know it'll be myself and Cresta Starr, and I believe Joel Pearl will be there as well. It's normally the three of us, or some sort of combination of me and Joel or me and Cresta, depending on other obligations or other, you know, life happenings. And the reason I say this is I do want to start the show off today by giving my condolences to Joel Pearl and his family. For people who may not know, he just tweeted about it today. A good friend of mine and a colleague here at Fightful, Joel lost his father on Friday. So as somebody who lost a parent back when I was a teenager, I lost my mother. I know the feeling, unfortunately, of losing a parent, and there's nothing I can say or do to make this any better. And I just, if Joel hears this, just know as I sent him a message, just letting him know, you know, if there's anything that you need, Joel, just let me know, man. And, it makes me just really appreciate the time that I have with my father. 'Cause you know, I do have my dad around, but I lost my mom very young. So me and my dad are very close, and I'm getting emotional. Just the idea of losing him, just really, I just can't imagine. So Joel, you know, I'm thinking of you, and it's just, I just get to that age now that it's just, a lot of my good buddies are losing their dads. My people, just people that I do, you know, podcasts and stuff. Well, people that you may know through some of my work, my buddy Doug, who I did live rounds with for years, you might know him as a part of Bill and Doug, good friend of mine. He lost his father a few years ago. My good friend and co-host on the Spotlight, Jeremy Lambert, lost his father like a year or so ago. I met his dad at Jeremy's wedding, like not long before all that happened. And now for this to happen to Joel, like, it's a real, real bummer. Cause I don't have too many close friends. I have like some colleagues here and there in like kind of the wrestling space, I guess. But like, I actually consider Joel and Jeremy and Doug to be like actually good friends of mine. Whether they consider me to be good friends or not, I consider them to be good friends of mine. And I just, you know, to see the three of them having to kind of go through this one after another, I just hate that has to happen. So Joel, like I said, anything you need, man, just let me know. And if you do not feel like you're up for, you know, being on the post show for TNA Rebellion, I completely understand, and I'm more than capable of handling the show, me and Cresta or whatever combination of people that y'all need me to work with. I'm happy to step in. Actually, for people who may not know or may not remember, years back, say a couple years ago, I lost a good friend of mine. His name's Derek Thornberry, and Derek passed away at 36 years old. And because of, you know, I attended his funeral, and it happened to be a day that Joel was able to like cover for me for a show for Fightful and stuff, and you know, just something where I'm always happy to return the favor if you need it, man. Just let me know. Everyone who hears this, you know, jump over on Joel's Twitter and, you know, give him well wishes. Tell him you're thinking about him. And I just wanted to dedicate today's episode to Joel and his family. So that all said, let's get to the actual topics of today's show. We got New Japan Pro Wrestling's Windy City Riot that, of course, included the massive results, mainly with Jon Moxley becoming the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Definitely going to talk about that. Also have some stuff to catch up on from last weekend. For those of you who missed last weekend's episode of The Weekender, I did a review of the GCW Collective, and that show was 11 events, so that was the whole show last week. But there was also some big shows over on IWTV that I watched that I really enjoyed, and two of them I'm going to go over today. One being Action Dean, which is a tribute show to Dean Rasmussen from the Death Valley Driver forums back in the day. And then we also have ICW NHB's No Holds Barred Volume 51 International Death Summit. So got those results for you today. I'm going to give you predictions for TNA Rebellion. As I mentioned, I'll do the post-show this weekend. I'll give you my predictions for the show right here today. Got results for NWA Power, NXT Level Up, Glory Pro Ascend Episode 31. I'll give you more predictions before we get out of here for AEW Dynasty, because I'm obviously very, very, very interested in that show. And then we have the Ring of Honor spoilers to wrap today's episode up. Some quick spoilers that I believe are from Wednesday. I don't know if they taped any spoilers last night after Collision, because they had Battle of the Belts as well. And if they have, I do not have the spoilers yet. So the spoilers I have are from, once again, like I believe Wednesday from Dynamite. But regardless, we will read out the spoilers we've got. I'll make sure to timestamp those if you want to remain spoiler-free. And that's today's show. So once again, we got a good mixture of results, predictions, and spoilers on today's episode of The Weekender. We're going to start off with New Japan Pro Wrestling's Windy City Riot. This show was a very big deal, as I mentioned, because of the massive title change. Well, there was actually multiple title changes. There was like three major title changes, I believe, off the top of my head. But the main one being the World Heavyweight title, which I'll get to in a second. This show took place out of the Wintrust Arena in Chicago, Illinois. Once again, this is New Japan Pro Wrestling's Windy City Riot from April the 12th. On the pre-show, we had a strong Survivor match where Matt Vandegrift defeated Zane Jay, and we had Alex Windsor and Trisha Dora over Mina Shirakawa and Viva Van in a tag team match, and that was the pre-show. Heading into the actual show itself, these are the results. We got Ren Narita over Minoru Suzuki. Ren Narita, well, I'll talk about Ren in a moment. We had the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Women's title on the line. Stephanie Vaquer defeated AZM. For those of you who don't know, Stephanie, not only the Strong Women's champion, but also the CMLL Women's champion. One of the best female talents in the world that is not currently a part of AEW or WWE, in my opinion. I'd love to see her be able to do some stuff with GCW in the near future. I'd love to see her on like Ring of Honor if possible. You know, with that relationship between CMLL and New Japan and AEW, I feel like Vaquer is someone who we could definitely see more of very soon. Very, very talented and been doing great work outside of, you know, AEW, outside of the quote unquote kind of mainstream scene. After that, we had the New Japan Strong Openweight title on the line. Oh, sorry, Openweight Tag Team title on the line in a four-way match. TMDK, the Mighty Don't Kneel, the team of Shane Haston and Mikey Nichols, defeat the Gorillas of Destiny, who were the champions coming into the match, a combination of Hikaleu and El Fantasmo, as well as Fred Rosser and Filthy Tom Lawler, and the West Coast Wrecking Crew of Jarrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs. You know, gotta also mention Gorillas of Destiny. If you happen to miss it, or you live under a rock, or you don't pay attention to the WWE at all, Tama Tonga just debuted on WWE SmackDown as a part of this new bloodline that is, looks like it's basically being run by, well, I believe being run behind the scenes by The Rock is how they're going to play this. But Tama Tonga basically jumped out Jimmy Uso on the show, both himself and Solo. Like, Tama Tonga debuted and attacked Jimmy along with Solo, And Paul Heyman seems to have like no control over the bloodline right now and seems terrified of Solo. And as we've speculated for weeks now, I'd imagine Jacob Fatu is coming soon. It seems like he's already been signed. He was supposed to be on in the GCW Punjabi prison match for the tag titles and was pulled last minute. So heavy speculation that he's signed to deal with WWE. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I strongly suspect Zilla Fatu to be signed sometime in the near future. He's the son of Umaga. Tama Tonga, of course, the son of Haku / Ming, if you didn't know. And of course, Solo Sikoa, the son of Rikishi, brother of the Usos. But that said, I think we'll get Zilla soon. And I've said it before, I think that they'll tag team Zilla and Solo at some point, like because they're so similar and they're both a lot of like they both vibe Umaga massively. And I've said it before, Zilla is new Maga because he actually is Umaga's son. And then you also have Juicy Finau floating out there, who I don't know if he has relation to the bloodline, like by actual blood or not, but he's someone who I could definitely see as a part of that group, because he could really be that group's kind of like Rikishi or Yokozuna, like their big man of the group. So, you know, I'd like to see more of these guys come in for the bloodline, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen. But I just wanted to throw that out there because Wheels of Destiny, of course, were a part of this match. And I believe there was a report from Fightful Select recently, which you can find right here on this platform. I believe I saw that here, where I think Hikuleo is... I don't think that there's any immediate plans for him to come over to the WWE from what it sounded like. And then I've also seen people memeing on the idea of Tongaloa coming over, because he's got some like really like embarrassing clips of like some of his in-ring stuff where he has like a really famous like 619 that he missed, and this like series of strikes and punches and chops that look really, really, really phony. And that's kind of what he's been known for in like recent memory. But for people who don't remember, he was actually in the WWE years ago. They called him Camacho, and he was with Unico, who eventually became like the fake Sin Cara and then the real Sin Cara. Super confusing if you don't know the lore there. But Unico used to drive, he used to like ride a bike to the ring with pegs, and Camacho would be like on the bike. Yeah, anyway, I don't see them. Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll bring him in eventually, but I don't think he's coming in the near future either. Anyway, this is a long... I've gone off the path here, talking and rambling about the new bloodline, but it's a very interesting story. We got Shota Umino over Jack Perry in the next match. The big news here, of course, Jack Perry came out to the ring wearing a Cry Me a River jacket. He did multiple CM Punk moves. He did a kill switch as well, which I like, because he's hinting that when he comes back to AEW, he's either going to jump back in with Christian and his group at the Patriarchy, or I suspect he'll most likely join the Elite. But Shota Umino, based on the main event of this show, I imagine the future is probably pretty bright for him in New Japan. And I think that Jack Perry should be heading back to AEW really very soon. And this is probably a good time to bring up, if you want my thoughts on the whole Jack Perry, CM Punk, AEW airing their backstage footage from All In. Me and Jeremy talked about that at length on the Spotlight this past Thursday on the main Fightful YouTube channel. We did like 2.5 hours this past week because I took off from work. So we celebrated Cody Rhodes, you know, finishing the story, of course, becoming the WWE champion. And then we also talked about the footage and whether or not it was a good idea for AEW to air that and all that stuff. My short answer, just for people who, you know, just want like a kind of a succinct kind of explanation of how I feel about all of that, I don't have a problem with AEW airing the footage at all, but I also understand why in a lot of people's minds it was a really bad look and like completely unnecessary. But I personally don't mind that they put that out there, because they were retaliating based on what CM Punk was out there saying. They wanted some sort of story out there, but ultimately Tony Khan really should just like address the media himself and like explain his side of the story instead of, you know, and they also should have done this months and months ago, not recently. But anyway, if you want my full thoughts on all that, go check out the most recent episode of The Spotlight. We had Mustafa Ali over Hiromu Takahashi, who had that jacked Daryl with him. We had Riot Rules, Bullet Club, the team of Clark Connors, David Finlay, Gabe Kidd, and Kenta. They defeat Eddie Kingston, Homicide, Jeff Cobb, and TJP of the United Empire. We had the New Japan World TV title on the line. Zack Sabre Jr. defeats Matt Riddle to become the new champion. Riddle had recently defeated Sabre to win that title, so Sabre winning it back, a little strange. I know there's a lot of people that are very happy to see Riddle, you know, just losing that title and not being spotlighted as much, because I get it. I don't want to get into all the reasons, but I get why Matt Riddle has a fan base, and I also get why Matt Riddle has a lot of haters. I get it. And it's just one of those things where, like, he's somewhat of a liability kind of everywhere he is, but he's very, very good in the ring. So it's a really strange case, because he's one of those guys who's like half canceled, but like there's not anything to like fully cancel him out there. But he also like openly talks about doing stuff that's like not a good look for companies like the WWE and stuff. So it's like, it's a really strange case, you know. It's like, it's one of those things where like you see him in New Japan, you see him in MLW, but like you don't see him at Bloodsport, and like he was let go from WWE, you know what I mean? It's just Riddle's like the strangest case of anybody out there right now. But once again, Zack Sabre Jr. beats him, wins the title back. The only really issue I have with this is that you kind of felt like when Sabre lost the TV title last time that he was going to be heading towards the world title. So, you know, I'd like to see that trajectory. I feel like he's kind of beyond the TV championship at this point, if that makes sense. After that, we had Nick Nemeth over Tomohiro Ishii in a absolute dream match of mine. Pretty much Ishii versus anybody I've never seen him wrestle before is a dream match, because I love Ishii. We'll talk more about Nemeth when we get to TNA. And the main event of the show, we have the IWGP World Heavyweight title on the line. John Moxley defeats Tetsuya Naito to win the championship. Finish of this one was Moxley hitting a Death Rider for the 1-2-3. Place went nuts for Moxley winning, and it's like not really a debate. I guess it kind of is like a friendly debate amongst fans of like who's the best member of the Shield. Is it John Moxley / Dean Ambrose, or was it, you know, Roman Reigns, or was it Seth Rollins? And are you taking into account, you know, what are you taking into account when you give your answer for this? And my answer has always been and continues to be John Moxley is the best member of the Shield. I think what Roman Reigns did in the WWE and what he continues to do and what he did, you know, as the champion for like 1,300 days or whatever, absolutely legendary stuff. He's like the Michael Jordan of like the current WWE product, or LeBron James, whatever. Like, I'm all on board for, I'm a huge fan of Roman Reigns. I really am. As much as I wanted to see Cody beat him, that's just because I'm an even bigger fan of Cody, but I still love Roman, and I have massive respect for the human being, Joe Anoa'i. And same with Seth Rollins, like, a ton of respect, and he deserves a lot of credit for staying as, like, a top-level guy in the WWE for so long, based pretty much on, like, his talent, and being able to, like, stay over and get even more over, and like, continue to adapt his character and stuff. But for me, when the Shield first debuted, Ambrose was the clear leader. He was also the one who carried that U.S. title, while Reigns and Rollins carried the tag titles. Although Moxley didn't defend the U.S. title as much as, you know, most of us had hoped, he had like a really long run with it. And then all the stuff that he's accomplished since leaving WWE, in AEW, in New Japan, in GCW, on the indie scene in general, in CMLL recently, like, I just think that John Moxley is, he's one of the best, and this is my own personal opinion. People can debate this, or, you know, it's just personal opinion. I think John Moxley is one of the best overall professional wrestlers, maybe of all time, definitely of my lifetime. He's way, way up there. When you look at his accomplishments, like how his, like, his catalog of matches and everything, like, I just think that Moxley is way up there, and he's kind of underrated and slept on it, kind of, when you think about it too. Because, you know, anyway, huge Moxley fan, obviously. Love Reigns, love Rollins, but I just want to throw my two cents out there for that debate as well. Tetsuya Naito is one of the top people in New Japan and will continue to be. For whatever reason, they give him really short title runs. Like, they'll build him for like forever to win the title. And this happened multiple times now. And then he just has like a short run with the belt. But, you know, he's a made man going forward in New Japan as long as he's there. And then we also got a tease that Ren Narita is going to be the first challenger for Moxley's title. And then you have to imagine Shota Umino is not far behind there, given the history between Moxley and Shooter. So really good stuff. Huge, huge show for New Japan here in the States. And once again, congratulations to John Moxley on becoming the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Moving on, got results for Action Dean. This show took place on April 4th. So this was last weekend. I think technically like last, what was the actual day? Was it like Thursday or something? I'm going to pull up my calendar. All my days. Yeah, last Thursday. So this is available over on independentwrestling.tv. It took place out of the H2O Wrestling Center. This was somewhat of like an action slash H2O kind of like joint show, but technically action wrestling, if that makes sense. Once again, in the H2O arena. On commentary, we had Carmen Michael, Dylan Hayes, and John Mosley, a.k.a. Mose, a.k.a. Jumpin' Johnny Mosley, three of my favorite human beings and favorite commentators in the game. You throw MLJ in there with those guys, that's probably my dream team. But I don't want, like, a four-man booth, that's what I'm saying, but you know what I mean. Those are, if I had, like, a list of, like, a Mount Rushmore right now of, like, my favorite commentary guys on the indies, it'd be Carmen, Dylan, Mose, three of them right there, and then MLJ. Now, that said, these are the results for Action Dean. You can watch this on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK, F-I-G-H-T-T-A-L-K. It also goes for this next set of results that I'll give for ICW NHB. If you use code FIGHTTALK, you can check out all the shows on IWTV, and it just lets the platform know that I've sent you their way. Show started off with the Action Wrestling title on the line. Alex Kane defends and retains over Colby Carino. The finish of this one was Kane reversing a headlock driver. Speaking of Ambrose, you know, it was basically the original Dirty Deeds, the Bulldog driver. But Colby goes for that. Alex Kane reverses it into the mark of Kane for the 1-2-3 to retain his title. After that, we had Amboss, the team of Lawrence Roman and Robert Dysker, along with O'Shea Edwards. They defeat the Good Hand, the team of Kevin Ryan, Shug D, and Tyler Stevens, a.k.a. The Wall. The finish of this one was O'Shea Edwards hitting a top rope moonsault on the wall for the 1-2-3. This was really a sight to behold, because for those of you who may not know, O'Shea Edwards is a big dude. Not big from like the sense of like heavy. He's just like, he's like a big dude, like a football player, like big athletic, just man of a human being. O'Shea Edwards is a guy that I have a lot of respect for. I got to see a lot in the Southeast on his come up. And I feel like he didn't really get a fair shake in Ring of Honor, part of Shane Taylor Promotions before it got sold over to Tony Khan. But it was really cool to see O'Shea Edwards hit that moonsault. It looked badass. I really hope O'Shea winds up on TV somewhere in the near future. After that, we had the Ugly Ducklings, the team of Rob Killjoy and White Mike. They issue an open challenge. The team to answer the challenge is Violence is Forever, Dominic Greene, and Kevin Koo, who make a surprise return to Action Wrestling. Former tag team champions at Action. Kevin Koo, also a former Action Wrestling world champion. VIF defeats the Ugly Ducklings in this one. The finish here is, I believe Koo and Greene called it the last finish. They like don't really use this move anymore, but it's cool to see him whip it out. It's like Greene does like a backdrop and Koo comes down with a pile driver onto Killjoy for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a Gypsy Joe Rules tag team match where the Coven of the Goat, the team of Tank and Jaden Newman, along with the Rev, defeat Manders and Filthy Tom Lawler. The entrance of this one was kind of funny because, like, Manders' music hit and Filthy Tom came out first and everyone was just, like, really confused and there was, like, no pop because they were expecting to see Manders. And Filthy Tom came out wearing, like, a polo. The finish of this one was Tank hitting a Russian leg sweep while Jaden Newman hit a running drop kick onto Manders, so like a combination Russian leg sweep and drop kick. They pin Manders for the 1-2-3. I know I mentioned this at the top of the show, and I don't want to forget to mention it before I finish the results. Action Dean was a tribute show to Dean Rasmussen, who was well known for his writings on the Death Valley Driver, which is like a forum that fans used to use back in the day. And a lot of people like Tony Khan was on there. Tony Khan actually talked about how he was bummed out that he missed Action D, and he wanted to be there live, but he couldn't be there because he was, you know, working for AEW and for Ring of Honor at the time, over the weekend. But Tony Khan was a poster on that site. Dylan Hales was on there, David Vixenspan, a lot of people that you'd probably recognize, you know, from current day pro wrestling. I believe MLJ was on there, but so I just want to throw that out there too. This was in memory of Dean Rasmussen, and kind of like a gathering of like internet fans that have, you know, been at this for a very long time. The next match we had was Bobby Flacco, Braden Toon, and Rico Gonzalez over Danny DeMonto, Hoodfoot, and Isaiah Broner in a six-person tag team match. The finish of this one was Flacco hitting a top rope Cody Cutter onto Hoodfoot for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Gringo Loco. Well, Dr. Cerebro defeated Gringo Loco, but then it was a... Wait, that's what it was. I got confused. I have my results here, and I got confused because I remember Gringo Loco defeats Dr. Cerebro by disqualification, but then they have an ODQ match right after Dr. Cerebro defeats Gringo Loco. He gets him with the submission hold that it was similar to a Tequila Sunrise, if you remember Conan's finisher, his submission hold, which is one of my favorite submissions ever. But instead of grabbing the near leg, he grabs the far leg and then also grabs the arm. So it's like a Tequila Sunrise octopus stretch, and he forces Gringo Loco to tap out. After that, we had the IWTV Independent Wrestling World title on the line. Cruel defends and retains over Warhorse. The finish of this one was Cruel throwing a fireball in the face of Warhorse and then following up with Scorched Earth for the 1-2-3 to retain the title. After the match, Jonathan Gresham comes out completely unannounced as a, you know, major surprise. Gresham faces off with Cruel to tease, you know, an upcoming title match. Gresham is the first ever Powerbomb.tv champion, which is now known as the IWTV Independent Wrestling World Championship. So technically, Gresham is the first title holder of the belt that Cruel currently holds and defends. The locker room has to clear out and separate these guys, but looking forward to that match and the size difference. I mean, it's somewhat of a meme, you know, with Gresham already because, you know, because he's short, but obviously his wrestling skill, you know, supersedes any limitations he has physically or whatever. Like his in-ring style and his technical wrestling is literally one of the best in the world. But it's just, it's a pretty wild visual seeing Cruel, who's like a legit 7-footer, and Jonathan Gresham's, you know, trying to face off, and Gresham's looking so far up at him. Looking forward to this stylistic matchup and in that title match once it happens. After that, we had Matt Mikowski over Arez. The finish of this one was Mikowski hitting a Chaos Theory mousetrap armbar and forcing Arez to tap out. If you want to know more about Matt Mikowski, me and Jeremy had him on the spotlight like half a year ago, and he was recently on In the Weeds over on Overbooked with Joel and Jeremy, so check that out. Matt Mikowski is one of my favorite wrestlers and human beings in independent wrestling, and legitimate badass, legitimate MMA career. You know, huge fan of Mikowski. After that, we had Slim J over Adam Priest. Slim J had just been released from AEW. That was the one kind of conflicting thing that would have been weird, I guess, with like Tony Khan wanting to be at the show. He would have been there with Slim J, but I feel like adults can be adults in these situations. I think people kind of overblow what would happen. I mean, Tony Khan's going to be around and interact with people he lets go from his company, like, in the future. Like, it's going to happen. It happens in every job, you know, not every job. A lot of people don't, like, return to work. But if you're in the same industry, you know what I mean? Like, Tony Khan's going to come across people he lets go over the years. It's just going to happen. Now, it was great, kind of like a homecoming, though, for Slim J, because he means a ton to the Southeast scene and really big in action wrestling, and this is an action wrestling show. Adam Priest, one of the faces of action wrestling in recent years, one of the faces just of independent wrestling. The finish of this one, towards the end of the match, this was a nice sequence where Slim J hits like a corner, like it's like it was like a twisting J driller out of the corner, and there was a kick out at two from Priest. But Slim J rolled right into a guillotine choke, and then Priest winds up using the top rope to, like, escape the move because he, like, uses it to sling Slim J's, like, neck into it. It was really good stuff. And then there's a bit, like, another bit of a sequence. Eventually, Anna Priest goes for his DDT, which is his finisher, which I love that his finisher is just a basic just DDT. And he goes for that, but Slim J reverses it basically into like a destino for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Wasted Youth, the team of Marcus Mathers and Austin Luke, over Sinner and Saint, the team of Judas Icarus and Travis Williams. The finish of this one was Austin Luke hitting a go to sleep, but like a kick instead of a knee, followed up by Marcus Mathers hitting a top rope 450 splash for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Bad Don Connolly over Demus in a dog collar match. This was one of the best matches of the weekend, one of the best matches of the show for sure. Just a brutal dog collar match. I can't do this one justice. And after this show, a lot of people were talking about a lot of this stuff from this show and the main event that I'll get to here in just a second. But most of the chatter that I saw was like Mad Dog Connolly like became a star that night. A guy who's been grinding for a while had like a real breakout in this one. The finish of this was Mad Dog locking in like both guys are on their backs, like facing up to like the ceiling, and so like Demus gets put in a triangle choke with the legs, but Connolly had Demus's chain wrapped around Demus's neck during it, so and that forces him to tap out. And then the main event of the show, we had Dana Macabe over Timothy Thatcher. The finish of this one was, I call it the baseball punch. It's like the Kushida, you know, like how Kushida like winds up like a baseball pitcher before he throws his straight punches. this was that. And if you know Dana Macabe, he's known for this move. I just don't know what else to call it. But basically, Macabe hits a baseball punch to Thatcher while he's on one knee. Thatcher actually winds up standing up. Macabe then hits another baseball punch to the head, and Thatcher doesn't fall over. And then Macabe hits a third baseball punch to the head, and this one knocks Thatcher over. Macabe falls on top of Thatcher. 1-2-3. Dana Macabe defeats Timothy Thatcher in their series all time. Now Macabe is 3-2. Like he has 3 wins and Thatcher has 2. So basically the like lifetime best of 5 series between the two is over. And Macabe is going to be retiring soon. Excuse me, unless he changes his mind, I guess. But he'll be retiring soon. I believe his last match is at SCI. And so he wins, you know, the series 3-2. And also the first one that was won by pinfall in any of these matches between the two. After the match, Macabe gives a really nice speech, talks about how he debuted in 2003. But it took years and years and years. Yeah, and all the way until he was 33 years old before anyone really cared about him. He was like a nobody before he wrestled Timothy Thatcher for the first time. And gives Thatcher a ton of credit for basically his whole career. And he also puts over Dean Rasmussen and the Death Valley review and everything. So just really good way to wrap the show up. And this was a great event. So I highly recommend you check it out. That is Action Dean over on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, got more results from IWTV. This is ICW NHB No Holds Barred Volume 61 International Death Summit. This show also out of the H2O Arena and took place on the 5th. So this was on Friday night, April the 5th. First match we got is a death match. Well, all these matches are death matches, so we'll just keep that in mind. All these matches are death matches. We had Yusaku Ito over Eric Ryan. The finish of this one was Ito hitting a second rope pile driver through tubes that were like on top of a chair that was bridged. So basically like a chair and tube bridge, a second rope pile driver through all that for the 1-2-3. Ito gets the win over Eric Ryan. We have the Kogar brothers, the team of Atticus Kogar and Otis Kogar. They defeat the Michigan Pillars, the team of Malcolm Monroe III and Tommy Vendetta, who did not have Darren McCarty in their corner for this one. The finish here was Otis hitting a powerbomb and Atticus coming down with a neckbreaker midair onto Monroe for the 1-2-3. So like a powerbomb neckbreaker. Actually, what comes to mind when I see that move is if y'all remember in WrestleMania 30, the triple threat main event, Batista and Randy Orton basically do this to Bryan Danielson through the announce table, but this one wasn't through an announce table, but that was the move, a powerbomb with a neckbreaker combo for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Tara Zepp over Shaza McKenzie. The finish of this one was a top rope splash through a tube and door bridge for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Clint Margera over Hoodfoot. Oh, and by the way, speaking of Shaza McKenzie, if you missed it, I talked about it on last week's episode of The Weekender, but Sean Ross Sapp recently managed Shaza McKenzie in a match against Notorious Mimi for Monster Factory. So if you want to check that out, that's over on the Monster Factory YouTube channel for free. After that, we had Clint Margera over Hoodfoot. The finish of this one was a Death Valley driver through just a ton of tubes, ton of light tubes for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Alex Colon over Danny DeMonto. The finish of this one was a top rope Meteora where basically DeMonto is sitting on a chair with a light tube on top of him. So Colon comes off the ropes, hits a top rope Meteora through the tube onto the, you know, DeMonto in the chair. DeMonto kicks out at two. Clone floats right over into the camel clutch and forces DeMonto to pass out. After that, we had the IWTV Independent Wrestling World title on the line in a four-way match. Champion Cruel defends and retains over Neil Diamond Cutter, Lou Nixon, and Tank. Tank had the Covenant of the Goat on the outside with him. That was Reverend Jaden Newman and Matthew Mowry. The finish of this one was Neil Diamond Cutter coming off the top rope, which I call the diving nothing. I've heard Brian Zane call it that over on Wrestling with Regret. I kind of stole that from him. But the diving nothing, which is like, you know, him just coming off the top rope, Cruel catches him midair with a choke slam for the 1-2-3. So Cruel with a choke slam to Neil Diamond Cutter to pin him and retain the IWTV Independent Wrestling World title in a four-way. After that, we had the Bev, Bobby Beverly, over Joel Bateman. The finish here was an Irish whip through a ton of tubes in the corner, followed up by a Fisherman's DDT for the 1-2-3. In the main event of the show, we had the ICW American Deathmatch title on the line in a four-way match. Killdozer defends and retains over Danny Darko, Green Phantom, and Vic Craig. Killdozer, of course, if you somehow don't know, is Matt Tremont. The finish of this one was Killdozer hitting a sit-out choke slam onto Craig. There was glass all over the ring at this point, just as you could imagine with the names that I just mentioned in a death match. There was glass and rubbish and stuff just everywhere. Once again, sit-out choke slam by Killdozer onto Craig for the three count. After the match, Akira comes out of nowhere. He was unannounced. People did not know he was at the show. Akira comes out and does a stare down with Killdozer to close the show. So looking forward to that when it goes down. We'll be getting Killdozer versus Akira for the ICW American Deathmatch Championship. And I think Akira's got a damn good shot at winning it as well. So that's definitely one to keep your eyes out on. So once again, that was ICW NHB. You can check that out over on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, got predictions for TNA's Rebellion. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this show is taking place on Saturday night, and I will be on the post-show, youtube.com/Fightful, so please join us right after Rebellion for the post-show review. I love doing those for TNA four times a year for their big pay-per-views, so please, please join us. Always a great time. As far as the matches, I'll give you some quick predictions here. I'll take Joe Hendry over Rich Swann. I'll take Jordan Grace to retain the Knockouts World title over Steph DeLander with Matt Cardona. I'll take Mustafa Ali to defend and retain the X Division title over Jake Something. I'm really looking forward to that one. I'm actually looking forward to like all these matches. They're all really good on paper. Pre-show stuff, I'll take Spitfire, the team of Jody Threat and Danny Luna, to defend and retain the TNA Knockouts World Tag Titles over Decay, Rosemary, and Havoc. I'll take the Rascals, Trey Miguel, Zachary Wentz, and Myron Reed. Love seeing Myron in with those guys, by the way. The fourth Rascal, who was always so forgotten. I'm going to take them over the team of Leon Slater Ace Austin and Chris Bay. That match is going to be an absolute banger. And that's one where, like, you put that on the pre-show, and anyone who's on the fence about ordering the show probably orders after seeing that match. Other stuff that I do not want to miss. I was kind of moving around the card here because some of the stuff kind of goes hand in hand with my predictions. So I'm going to say there's Full Metal Mayhem. I'd prefer to see Eric Young over Kazarian, but they're really building up this whole Kazarian, like, being the king of TNA thing, and he's lost to Eric Young already. I'd prefer Eric Young, but my gut feeling is Kazarian, and a lot of this goes hand in hand with some of the other predictions I'm about to make. So, like, I'm gonna take Kazarian over Eric Young in Full Metal Mayhem. I think there's gonna be some sort of shenanigans there. The Last Man Standing match is the hardest one for me to predict on the entire show between Josh Alexander and Hammerstone. They're 1-1 against each other, and this is the rubber match. Because of where I'm going with the main event eventually, I'm going to say, this is tough. I think Josh Alexander should win and reestablish himself as, like, one of the top guys and, like, get another world title shot and stuff, because I'm a huge fan of Alexander, and I have massive respect for the way he carried that company as champion when he had that belt, and the way he had to relinquish it just sucked with the timing and everything. But I'm actually going to take Hammerstone to win Last Man Standing, and part of the reason why is because he doesn't have to pin Alexander. There can be some sort of, you know, interference or weapons or whatever, right, with it being Last Man Standing. There's ways to beat Alexander without, like, really beating him, if that makes sense. And because of where I think things might be going in the main event, that's why I'm going with Hammerstone and with Kazarian. I think two heels getting that win sets stuff up for a potential babyface championship match with either of those guys in the near future, which kind of, you know, foreshadows where I'm going with all this, because I not only think that we're going to get a new world champion, I think we're going to get new tag champions as well. So for the TNA World Tag Team titles, I'm going to take Speedball Mountain, the team of Trent Seven, and Speedball Mike Bailey to defeat the system, the team of Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards, to win the tag team titles. And then the main event of the show, which I'm assuming is the main event, I'm going to take Nick Nemeth to defeat Moose to become the TNA World Champion. Now, this all obviously comes down to how long they have Nemeth, like, locked down. I know that obviously he makes New Japan appearances, he's been making indie appearances, but, you know, Nemeth came in, he debuted in the company right after Moose won the title from Alex Shelley, and, you know, I just feel like they're going to pull the trigger and put the title on Nemeth, because then from there you have a heel Kazarian and a heel Hammerstone as two potential challengers, like, right off the bat. So that's just kind of where I'm thinking. That's where my head's at. I could be totally, totally off with all of this, but, and I know that Moose just won the title, but he's been the TNA champion / Impact champion before. He's actually held both those titles before, technically, when he was carrying all those belts. But, well, I guess Kenny was carrying all those, but so was he. He was carrying like the TNA title, remember, then Kenny won it from him. But he also then won the actual Impact title. It's so confusing if you hadn't been following, you know, year over year over year. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I feel like Moose beat Shelley so that Nemeth would have a heel to beat for the title. Although Nemeth versus Shelley would have been a way better actual match for the championship, you know what I mean? But that all said, I'm going to take Nick Nemeth to win the TNA World Championship from Moose. So I have the whole system losing all their titles. Moving on, speaking of title changes, moving on, we have NWA Power Results. This is from the show that aired on April 9th. It's available over on CW and the CW app. I'm going to give you some quick results for the matches on this show. We had one pretty big title change to open things up. The NWA World Junior Championship, Joe Alonzo defeats Colby Carino to become the new champion. So congratulations to Joe Alonzo. He's a guy who's been doing really good work for quite a while. I became familiar with him back when he was working, like, I want to say, like, New Texas and in Loco Wrestling, I believe. He was, like, both those places. I'm going to pull up his cage match real quick while I'm talking about him. Unless my computer is going to be, like, super slow, in which case I don't want to mess up this recording. But I'm going to pull up Joe Alonzo real quick on cage match. He's been wrestling for 8 years, trained by Mustafa Ali, Robert Anthony, and Ricky Marvin from Illinois. And yeah, he's been a part of the NWA for quite a while. Here we go. I'm going down his cage match, and yeah, I've got like, yeah, him at Loco. I remember him versus Dante Leon in that steel cage match for sure. Yeah, he did some really good stuff with Loco Wrestling. So yeah, that's where he got on my radar. But yeah, he'd been around for a while before that. I'd seen him in Freelance Underground and stuff as well. But anyway, congratulations to Joe Alonzo for winning the NWA. Whoops, there we go. Had to get rid of that. For winning the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship from Colby Carino. Colby was a great champion while he held that belt. Probably one of the better champions and performers in the company. My favorite in the company, just for the record, is Kenzie Page. But that's neither here nor there. Congratulations to Joe Alonzo. Looking forward to a good title run there. After that, we had La Rosa Negra and Ruthie J over Tiffany Nieves and Rika Tehaka. We had Spencer Slade over Magic Jake Dumas. And the main event of the show, we had the NWA World Women's Tag Titles on the line in a pre-rules 2-out-of-3 falls match. The King Bees, the team of Charity King and Danny B, defend and retain their titles over Pretty Empowered, the team of Ella Envy and Kylie Page. They get the win 2-1. So that is NWA Power this week. Once again, new champion Joe Alonzo, if you want to check that out. Junior champion, I should say, technically. Junior heavyweight champion, Joe Alonzo. If you want to check that out once again, that's over on the CW or the CW app. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on April 20th. I always say to check it out over on Hulu, because that's where I watch the show at. I believe it's available on Peacock as well. We had the kind of standard of 3 matches and a quick interview segment in this one. Show started off with Tavian Heights over Uriah Connors. Gonna have to get used to saying Uriah Connors and not Brogan Finley. But yeah, Tavian Heights over Uriah Connors. The finish of this one was really nice. At one point in the match, towards the end, Connors went for like a tarantula type move, like kind of like almost Tajiri style in the corner, like over the ropes. But Tavian just picks him up in an electric chair and like tosses him from the electric chair position. Really nice stuff. Then there's like a sequence of like an overhead throw and a clothesline and stuff. But eventually Tavian Heights hits his running belly to belly suplex for the 1-2-3. After that, we had before the match, we had Carly Bright and Kendall Gray. They have a quick interview where they basically say that they complement one another stylistically. Like one is a really good like wrestler and athlete. The other one is a really good, gymnast, I believe. It was like gymnastics and like actual combat sports combination between the two. One's kind of all business. The other one is like good, is like fun to be around, you know, if that makes sense. And that led into the tag team match where Blair Davenport and Stevie Turner defeat Carly Bright and Kendall Gray. The finish of this one was Bright going for a moonsault and Davenport gets her knees up to block it. Follows up immediately with a Falcon's Arrow for the 1-2-3. And the main event of the show, we had Eddie Thorpe over Dion Lennox. Eddie Thorpe is probably my favorite performer who's like consistently on NXT Level Up. I was a big fan of his work as Carl Fredericks in New Japan prior to being signed. Myself and Jeremy interviewed him a while back, like a couple years ago now already, for Fightful while he was still with New Japan. And then, you know, obviously I'm a very big fan of Javon Evans, but I feel like he's going to be more like on the main NXT show going forward probably. But that said, Eddie Thorpe's the man. And Dion Lennox, a good up-and-comer. A really good kind of perfect example of like a good way of using NXT Level Up right here. A guy who's like, Eddie Thorpe's kind of honestly like more of a veteran that like doesn't really even need to be on this show. But he gets reps in on this and then also helps elevate Dion Lennox. So we had Eddie Thorpe over Dion Lennox in the main event. The finish of this one was Thorpe hitting a... It was like a going back and forth with like strikes, and he hits him with like a punch, knocks him over, and then hits him with the Impaler DDT, which I love that finishing move. I always have, And it's so much better than Eddie Thorpe was doing this, like, people's elbow thing for a little while. And I imagine he was told to stop doing that because The Rock's back. But the Impaler is so much better of a finisher anyway. And he was using at New Japan before. But anyway, Eddie Thorpe gets the win with the Impaler on Dion Lennox for the 1-2-3. After the match, Thorpe goes to shake Lennox's hand. Lennox initially kind of like shrugs him off, but then they wind up shaking hands and showing each other respect. Once again, that is NXT Level Up. Check that out over on Hulu. All right, moving on. We got results for Glory Pro Wrestling Ascend, episode 31. This show is available for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. So just go on YouTube, search Glory Pro Wrestling. You can watch all the episodes of Ascend completely for free. All 31 episodes so far available over there. These matches were probably taped around, I would probably like want to say like around January. I believe we've gone over these results already, but it's been a long time. And now we're getting caught up to what they actually have up on their YouTube channel. These are the results for episode 31 of Glory Pro's Ascend. First match we have is a tag team match where it's a Road Warrior Cup quarterfinal match where Dan the Dad and Cody Lane defeat Raheem De La Suede and Mike Outlaw. The finish of this one was Cody reversing a La Mahastral cradle from Outlaw and sticking him for the pin for the 1-2-3. A lot of history in this match too. If you know, Mike Outlaw and Dan the Dad, who are on opposite teams of this one, used to be a part of the No New Friends stable in Glory Pro years and years ago. Speaking of No New Friends, another member of that group, KLD, made his Glory Pro return in this match against Jabari King. We had a battle of super heavyweights here. KLD defeats Jabari King. The finish of this one was KLD hitting his final strike, which is it's basically like a world's strongest slam into a black hole slam type combination, variation, for the 1-2-3, which is always impressive, and it's super impressive when, he's doing the move such a big dude, being a big man himself. And the main event of the show, we had a no-holds-barred match where ATM defeats Mason St. Goods. The finish of this one saw ATM pick up the chain that Goods had introduced to the match, so uses his own weapon against him. Goods goes for a rewind, which is like a second rope springboard move. As he's flying through the air, ATM, he picked the chain up that Goods brought in. ATM uses his own chain against him, hits him in the head with it, follows up with a super kick, and does the Shawn Michaels kind of like fall on top, his back onto the body, 1-2-3, and ATM gets the win over Mason St. Goods. Once again, that's Glory Pro Wrestling Ascend, episode 31. You can watch it for free over on YouTube. Moving on, got some quick predictions for AEW Dynasty. The show is going to be taking place next Sunday on April 21st. So as I said, we have 420 for TNA, 421 for AEW. It's going to be a fun weekend. For a lot of reasons, it'll be a fun weekend. That said, we have the card here for AEW Dynasty. This is the first time AEW has done the Dynasty event. And this is going to be taking place in St. Louis, Missouri. So, like, speaking of Glory Pro, this is, like, in their backyard. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the pre-show and stuff and, like, Ring of Honor tapings or whatever else they tape include a lot of Glory Pro names, probably some of which I just mentioned on that set of Ascend results. As far as predictions, I'm going to go Will Ospreay over Brian Danielson. I'm going to take the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson over FTR, Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler, to win the vacant AEW World Tag Team titles in a ladder match, the tournament finals. I'm going to take Willow Nightingale over Julia Hart to win the AEW TBS Championship in a House Rules match. I'm going to take the team of Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe over the House of Black combination of Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. I have no idea what the future of the House of Black looks like. I mean, maybe they, murk the baby faces. I just feel like they're just so lost in the mix in so many ways. This should be a good trios match. And it's good to see, they got Copeland, Briscoe, and Kingston, on the show. I'm going to take Timeless Toni Storm to defend and retain her AEW World Women's Championship over Thunder Rosa. Of course, Toni Storm should have Mariah May and Luther in her corner. Once again, I'll take Tony to retain. I'll take Kazuchika Okada to defend and retain the AEW Continental Championship over Pac. It's going to be a really, really good one. I got, so I'm going to go with my gut on this one, and I just, similar to Cody, this is a guy I just, like, don't pick against often because I'm just such a fan. I'm going to take Kyle O'Reilly to defeat Roderick Strong to win the AEW International Championship. I know that Roddy just recently won it from Orange Cassidy, and they're doing the whole, you know, Undisputed Kingdom thing, but in my honest opinion, the Undisputed Kingdom storyline sucks, and it's DOA. Like, it is, like, they gotta pivot massively with MJF when he returns, because this group and everything is just not good, and Adam Cole being injured and being the leader of it, the timing was so bad, and, like, it just, I'd have to talk for the next hour about how poorly executed I feel like things have been after Adam Cole revealed himself as the devil with this whole Undisputed Kingdom thing. But I love Kyle O'Reilly. I love that he's back. He's one of my favorite in-ring wrestlers of all time. And I want to see Kyle O'Reilly win this thing. So I'm going to take Kyle O'Reilly to become the international champion. And he was on a real roll before he got injured. You know, he was out for a long time. But before that, he had like a pay-per-view win over Darby Allin. He had that big match in the tournament finals for the championship against Jon Moxley. For the interim, I think. But regardless, Kyle O'Reilly was on a real uphill trajectory. He was ready to break out in AEW before he got hurt. And I hope that he picks up where he left off here and becomes the international champion. And what I'm assuming is the main event of the show, we have... I'm going to say Swerve Strickland defeats Samoa Joe to become the AEW World Champion. Swerve should have Prince Nana on his corner. I mean, I just feel like the time's right. Yeah, just go with the hot hand. Like, I love Samoa Joe. I think he's done a great job as champion. I was really surprised that he's the one who beat MJF for that title, but, like, with the story and the circumstances and everything, and MJF's injuries, and Samoa Joe wound up being a great champion for them, but it's just, like, you don't want the time to pass, and a lot of y'all are probably watching wrestling long enough to know, like, sometimes the moment passes, right, and you don't want that to happen to Swerve. And he's also been openly talking for a while about how he wants to be the first black AEW world champion. The time is just right to just pull the trigger on this, in my opinion. And I think Swerve is going to become the AEW world champion coming out of the show. And eventually, we'll probably get Swerve versus Ospreay for the title. I mean, there's a lot of time between now and Wembley, but I could see that maybe being the world title match at Wembley. And last but not least... got some Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers to wrap the show up. So if you want to remain spoiler-free, you can go ahead and just turn the show off now. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com before you leave. But appreciate y'all for listening, and I'll see y'all next week. But if you want the spoilers for Ring of Honor, these are Honor Club spoilers coming at you in 3, 2, 1. These are courtesy of PW Insider, and they were from April 10th, which was Wednesday, so taped alongside Dynamite. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I do not know if there was more taping spoilers coming out of Collision and Battle of the Belts last night. I'm losing it as I end the show here. I don't know if there were spoilers for Ring of Honor last night after AEW Collision and AEW Battle of the Belts. That's what I was trying to enunciate and say there. These are spoilers for Ring of Honor, once again, courtesy of PW Insider, from April the 10th. We have Action Andretti over Isaiah Cassidy, Christopher Daniels over Cole Carter, and an ROH TV title proving ground match, Kyle Fletcher over Rhett Titus. So, that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please make sure to follow me on X at FightTalk_. That's FightTalk_. Use code FightTalk on independentwrestling.tv. Please watch the Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, with myself and Jeremy Lambert. Talk the world of WWE, AEW, Indies, whole bunch of stuff over there. And we normally have an interview for y'all as well with an independent wrestler, promoter. You know, we got two promoters coming on this month, and still locking in the guest for this week, but got some stuff lined up for y'all. So just keep, stay tuned on everything we got going on. That's over on youtube.com/Fightful. That's the spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time with myself and Jeremy Lambert. And I will be here next Monday. So enjoy next weekend. Enjoy TNA Rebellion. Please join us on the post show on the main YouTube channel for Fightful right after Rebellion. Check out my review, my reactions, our analysis and everything for that show. And also enjoy AEW Dynasty on Sunday. Enjoy your 420 and your 421. Till next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.